Now here's a quiz. Name the only traditional performing arts form where the audience is actually getting younger. Time's up. It is opera. And some of those young opera fans came to the music through a peculiar route. They're punk rockers who enjoy opera's high volume, high drama, and intellectual challenge. NPR's Neda Ulaby reports.
When 31-year-old Karen Calabrese feels like enjoying a little music, she asks herself this question.
Let's see. What devastates me? Lucia de Lammermoor leaves me shattered by the end.
Calabrese likes music that's a little ferocious. That's why she's a hardcore opera lover and a punk rock fan. It's not a question of low versus high. Opera and punk is music for thrill seekers and nonconformists.
Neither is insipid. They both offer you a severe kick in the gut, which is, I also think, probably why there are plenty of people who hate both of them.
Plenty of people love both of them, too. Colin Anderson responded to an email seeking punk fans on a popular listserv for opera fanatics. He's a philosophy professor in his mid-30s. Anderson says he was drawn to opera as a rebellious teenager. He was fascinated by its main themes.
Sex, death, and authority. And those, in many ways, are the same themes you find in a lot of punk rock. I am an anarchist.
Richard Wagner and the Sex Pistols might seem to have little in common, but Colin Anderson says they do. Their music is piercing, mad, over the top. They're grandiose statements, and they appeal to offbeat connoisseurs who learn to love what Anderson calls educated screaming.
Part of, I think, learning to become an opera fan is learning how to actually enjoy for the first time the sound of these performers. Many people I know who don't like opera find it actually unpleasant to hear a human voice make some of those noises.
High opera and punk rock fetishize the extreme limits of the human voice like few other musical genres, Anderson says. And these cries seem to trigger extreme behavior in their audiences. Fans at La Scala in Milan are as prone to slinging insults and rotten fruit as their dedicated punk counterparts at CBGB's in New York.
If you love somebody, why not set them on fire?
Pamela Rosenberg directs the San Francisco Opera, where the punk fans who attend dress up and fit in. But she doesn't see a problem with a little moshing at the opera.
Well, we wouldn't stop them. I mean, they want to jump up, they can.
Rosenberg thinks that relating punk rock and opera makes sense in a sort of intuitive way. Both face charges of morbidity and nihilism, but Rosenberg says that comes with addressing strong emotions like passion and grief. The sensation listeners receive from this kind of music, she says, is almost chemical.
The bigness of emotions really does lift you into another place. And if you can feel that intensely, then you know you're living. Some people do partake of it in a more distant way, but I think it's actually a life or death thing.
People who like punk and opera tend to be uncompromising. Colin Anderson says that's partly because their heroes are often underdogs who try to resist forces larger than themselves. Fate, for example, or injustice.
The strategy of opera in the face of broken hearts and death and loss and sadness is to transform that experience into something beautiful, something noble, and something sublime, while the reaction of punk rock is to try to confront, I think, the ugliness, right? To not transform it, but to yell and scream about it.
Karen Calabrese says the bottom line for her is neither one is background music.
There are radio stations that are advertised as, you know, great for the office, that they're only going to play things that you don't notice. And no punk rock and no opera are going to show up on that radio station.
While the radio stations that do play punk or opera are dwindling, it's doubtful that their listeners will settle for music they find boring. Neda Ulaby, NPR News, Washington.